reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 6, text number 9. Sudhir Mrinam Natuta Teja Durasayanam. Vidya Sutajayana Dhanna Tapakrihabhi.
Vidya Sutajayana Dhanna Tapakrihabhi.
Sadratmanam Rishabhate Yasasi Pravridha.
Sadratmanam Rishabhate Yasasi Pravridha.
Satchadaya Shavana Samritaya Yatasha.
Sudhir.
Purification.
Rinam.
Of persons.
Na.
Is not.
To.
But. Tata, in such a way. Vidya, O worshipable one. Durasayanam, of those whose consciousness is contaminated. Vidya, by ordinary worship. Shruta, hearing and obeying the injunctions of the Vedas. Ajayana, study of various shastras. Dana, charity. Tapaha, austere penances. Kriyabhi, and ritual activities. Sattvam atmanam, of those who are situated in pure goodness. Rishab, the greatest of all. Te, your. Yasasi, in the glories. Prabridha, fully matured. Sat, transcendental. Shraddhaya, by faith. Shravana Samvrittaya, which is reinforced by the process of hearing. Yata, as. Sat, there is. O greatest of all those whose consciousness is polluted by illusion, cannot purify themselves merely by ordinary worship, study of the Vedas, charity, austerity, and ritual activities. Our Lord, those pure souls who have developed a powerful transcendental faith, in your glories achieve a purified state of existence that can be never attained by those lacking such faith. Purport. Even if a pure devotee is lacking the above qualifications such as Vedic study and austerity, if he has unflinching faith in Lord Krishna, the Lord will save him because of his devotion. On the other hand, if one becomes falsely proud of one's material qualifications, including ordinary piety, but does not devote himself to hearing and chanting the glories of Krishna, the result will ultimately be nil. The transcendental spirit soul cannot be purified by any amount of material piety, charity, or scholarship. Only the transcendental Supreme Lord can purify the transcendental living entity by bestowing his mercy within the heart. The demigods were astonished at their good fortune. Even by hearing about Krishna, one achieves all perfection, but they had entered the Lord's own city and were seeing him standing before them. Translation again. O greatest of all, those whose consciousness is polluted by illusion cannot purify themselves merely by ordinary worship, study of the Vedas, charity, austerity, and ritual activities. Our Lord, those pure souls who have developed a powerful transcendental faith in your glories achieve a purified state of existence that can never be attained by those lacking such faith. So this is verse here is describing the those who have faith in the glories of the Lord, that they can become purified and others cannot. So actually the previous verse summed up a lot of the glories of the Lord in a nutshell. So I'll actually just read that previous verse as well. It said, "O unconquerable Lord, you engage your illusory energy composed of the three modes to unleash, maintain and devastate the inconceivable manifest cosmos, all within your own self. As the supreme superintendent of Maya, you appear to be situated in the interaction of the modes of nature. However, you are never affected by material activities. In fact, you are directly engaged in your own eternal spiritual bliss, and thus you cannot be accused of any material infection." So that previous verse describes both Krishna's activities in the spiritual world, where he enjoys spiritual pastimes, pleasurable pastimes, spiritual activities with his associates who are all spiritual, in the abode of eternality, bliss and full knowledge. And while he is engaged there, he simultaneously he is manifesting, creating, maintaining and destroying all of material existence. In actuality, these verses are helping us to understand Lord Nityananda. There is one verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita which describes that Krishnadas Kaviraj, who is a disciple of the Goswamis of Vrindavan, is offering one prayer that, "I offer my respectful obeisances under Nityananda Prabhu, who expands himself and is non-different from Sankarshan, Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshay Vishnu, Kshiradakshay Vishnu and Anantasesha. These are all the personalities involved in the activities of the described in the previous verse, who unleash, maintain and devastate the inconceivable material cosmos. And yet that same Supreme Lord within the spiritual world has nothing to do with material activities in his original form as Krishna and Balaram, and those same personalities, they actually appear within this material world as Krishna and Balaram, and then again as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda, and again they engage in spiritual activities meant to attract the conditioned souls back to the spiritual world. So if we can actually understand the real nature of how the material world is created, maintained and destroyed, then we can actually have faith in the Supreme Lord, Lord Nityananda, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We can have faith in them, and by faith we can understand that actually the Supreme Lord is fully in control of the material existence. The Supreme Lord is the actual proprietor of material existence, and he is actually the enjoyer of material existence. So by understanding material existence properly in its relationship with the Supreme Lord, naturally one becomes detached from the material world, becomes detached from the propensity to try and consider oneself the actual enjoyer, the proprietor, the creator of the material manifestation. Generally that's our position, that we, as described in our current verse here, that those whose consciousness is polluted by illusion. So consciousness polluted by illusion means that we have that understanding that this world is meant for my enjoyment. That's the pollution of our consciousness. And that consciousness cannot be purified by any other process except having faith in the glories of the Lord, by understanding the Lord that He is actually the creator, proprietor and enjoyer of material existence. If we have faith in those glories of the Lord, then we can purify ourselves of that illusory consciousness. If a person does not believe that there is a Lord, or to speak of that, that Lord is the creator, proprietor, enjoyer, how can one then free oneself from that consciousness? If the general consciousness is that I am the enjoyer, if someone says, no, you are not the enjoyer, then the first question is, then who is? And why not me? If you can't prove that actually someone else is the proprietor of everything in material existence, the control of the enjoyer, then why shouldn't I stake my claim? Right? It's like a squatter. We're squatters in the material world. Squatters, if there's a property and no one seems to have staked a claim on that property, then why shouldn't I stake my claim on that property? But if someone is able to convince them, no, actually those people are actually on holiday, or, you know, they're somewhere else, but there is someone who owns this property and someone who, you know, they enjoy this property, even though the place appears a little run down or what have you, it's not yours. So if you can convince that person, that squatter, then they will go elsewhere. But, of course, being a squatter, they will find somewhere else to squat. So, having that faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead allows us to say, yes, I firmly believe, I firmly understand, I can perceive very clearly that here is the person who created this material existence, therefore he is the rightful proprietor and enjoyer. I give up my claim. If we have that faith, that is what's being stated here. It's not a it is not a sentimental faith. You see, there are many so-called religious sentiments in this world where they have faith in God, but they don't actually know anything about God. To have faith in God, there must be some understanding of His glories. There must be some very scientific and, you know, rock-solid understanding how the Lord exists as a person, how He actually created material existence. You see, in many different scriptures of the world, when it comes to creation, there's a lot of controversy because there's a couple of little details, and some of it doesn't appear to quite make sense, and therefore, you know, people can't scientifically, they can't feel that they can scientifically, you know, accept it as a fact, creation by the Supreme Lord. Because they can't, even though they have faith in God, because they actually can't really put their faith that, yeah, maybe He did create the material existence, or maybe as the scientists say, it was a big bang or what have you. Maybe there's God out there, but maybe he didn't, you know, wasn't hands-on in the creation. Maybe there's God, but still there was some accidental creation. You know, they can't, until one has firm faith, one can't actually relinquish that sense of being the proprietor and the enjoyer. So, as described, the previous verse actually helps us to understand the position of Lord Nityananda. And if we can hear the glories of Lord Nityananda and put our faith in Lord Nityananda, then and only then is it possible to be purified of the illusion of created by material consciousness. If there is anyone who does not have faith in Lord Nityananda, then you can immediately understand that person is contaminated and influenced strongly by the illusion of material existence. That person may appear to be involved in all sorts of charitable activities. They may appear to be engaged in all sorts of study of Vedic literatures or other literatures of the world. They may appear to be very philosophical. They may appear to perform various austerities. So many different things. But if they don't have faith in Lord Nityananda, that person is completely contaminated by the illusion of material existence, thinking that I am the proprietor, I am the enjoyer within this material world. There is no second path. That is actually the statement here in the Srimad Bhagavatam. When you think about it, it's a very, very powerful statement. So actually, in the spiritual world, there is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and in his original feature, he exists as Krishna. Krishna's first expansion is as Balaram. The only difference, they are the same identity. They are both the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are the same person. The only difference is that they have slightly different forms. Krishna is blackish, bluish, and Balaram is very beautiful white colour. They carry different things in their hands. Balaram carries a plough, Krishna carries a flute. Apart from that, they're actually the same identity in two bodies. That's in the spiritual world, they enjoy their pastimes in Goloka Vrindavan, which is has three divisions, Dwarka, Mathura, and Vrindavan. So nowhere else does Krishna actually perform his pastimes. So though sometimes, as we see 5,000 years ago, he actually brought Mathura, he manifests Mathura, Vrindavan, Dwarka here in the material world, Goloka Vrindavan, so that we could perceive his pastimes. But actually, apart from Vrindavan, you cannot see his pastimes anywhere else, not in the Vaikuntha Lokas. So Lord Balaram is actually the Supreme Personality of servitorship. His purpose and the very goal of his existence is to serve Krishna, to fulfill all of Krishna's desires, and to assist him in all the affairs of spiritual and material existence. So in one way, in the spiritual world, Krishna and Balaram, they enjoy various pastimes together, sometimes as friends. Sometimes Balaram is in the mood of his elder brother. Sometimes Balaram is in the mood of his guru. In this way, there are different ways Balaram enjoys with Krishna. So Lord Balaram, he expands in five different features in order to serve Krishna. He expands as Sankarshan, Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshay Vishnu, Kshiradakshay Vishnu, and Ananta Sesha. So the first expansion from Krishna is Balaram. Balaram expands as the Chaturvyuha, as Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Iruda. So they're pastime forms of the Lord to increase the enjoyment of the Lord and to expand the spiritual and material affairs. So Lord Balaram is the original Sankarshan, and Krishna expands as Vasudev, and then Sankarshan further expands as Pradyumna and Aniruddha. So they are this first Chaturvyuha, Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, they are known as the Chaturvyuha of Dwarka. So then Sankarshan, Balaram, he expands again as Narayan. So Narayan is the opulent feature of the Supreme Lord, who exists in the Vaikuntha planets, in the spiritual sky. There are unlimited spiritual planets, and on each of those spiritual planets is a different form of Lord Narayan. There he is surrounded by his different associates and servants, and they worship him in awe and reverence. Whereas in Krishna Loka, Krishna, although he's the original Narayan, there he is served in spontaneous, intimate service. The intimacy is covered. Sorry, the opulence, the opulent feature, and the awe and reverence is not prominent in, it's not even found really in Vrindavan, but in Vaikuntha Loka one worships Narayan in his opulent feature. So Narayan again expands as the second Chaturvyuha of Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna and Aniruddha, and they exist on the four sides of Narayan, so in all directions. That Maha Sankarshan, the Sankarshan of the second Chaturvyuha, is known as Maha Sankarshan, and he is the shelter of all existence. All the six opulences which expand in their unlimited variety in Vaikuntha Loka, that is expanding from the energy of Maha Sankarshan. All the planets, so there are unlimited spiritual planets, and all the abodes and paraphernalia, everything is all expanded from Maha Sankarshan, from his energy, from his potency. All the living entities, all the jivas who are not in their original constitutional position, engaged as servitorship to the Supreme Lord in Vaikuntha Loka or Goloka Vrindavan, Maha Sankarshan is a reservoir of all those living entities. The material energy is also one of the energies which expands from Maha Sankarshan. So Maha Sankarshan, he expands himself as Mahavishnu. And Mahavishnu, he lays down upon the Viraj River. It is the spiritual body of water which actually separates the material energy from the spiritual sky. And Mahavishnu, he lays down upon that and when he glances at the material energy and impregnates all the living entities within the material energy. It's also described that within Mahasankirtan actually are the spiritual seeds of the universes. And therefore when he actually lays down on the causal ocean as Mahavishnu, and as he breathes out, those universes enter within the Mahatattva, which are then covered by the different elements, the 16 elements of the Mahatattva, and the they expand as universes, and as he breathes in and breathes out, those universes expand and withdraw within his body. All the universes within all the material existences, as in one breath, as Mahavishnu breathes out, all the universes emanate, and they remain for the duration of just his one breath. And then when he breathes in, all material existences, everything wound up within Mahavishnu. So Mahavishnu is an expansion of Mahasankirtan. The Prajumna of the second chapter of Yuha, he expands as Gavadaksha Vishnu. And Gavadaksha Vishnu, he lays down within, he expands himself, and within each and every universe, he lays down within the water that he creates to fill the half the universe, and he lays down on an expansion, his expansion as Ananta Sosha, Ananta. So that Ananta is actually described to be the he has thousands of heads. Actually, I have an Ananta here. I'll show you. I'm talking about Ananta. We had Ananta who's come to see us today. Ananta Sosha, you see, he has a head like a snake type head. Inside, he has all the thousands and thousands of hoods. So he is Ananta Sosha. So actually, all the incarnations appear through that Ananta Sosha. So he is actually the seed of all incarnations. So that Gavadaksha Vishnu, from the his navel, the lotus stem grows, which is the subtle form of the 14 planetary systems, and the top of that lotus stem sits Lord Brahma, who then engages in the secondary creation of material elements within the universe. From the subtle elements, gradually more and more gross elements are created. So that's Gavadakshaya Vishnu. He then expands as Shiradakshaya Vishnu. Or in another way, you can say that Aniruddha of the second Chaturvyuha expands as Shiradakshaya Vishnu, the super soul within the heart of all living entities, and within each and every atom. And his further subpart is Ananta Sosha. That form of Ananta Sosha, he is something like 240,000. Miles, down below the universe. He sits there in the Vatala regions, and resting upon one of his hoods is the entire universe, which is, for him, it is so small it is like a mustard seed. It is so small that he doesn't even see that. He doesn't feel it. He doesn't, even notice. Just like if you have a piece of dust on your head, you don't notice. So these are the five different expansions of Balaram, Sankirtan, Karanadaksha Vishnu, Gavadaksha Vishnu, Kshiradaksha Vishnu, and Ananta Sosha. An antisocia has two features. One is he carries the universe upon his head, and in another feature, he actually does personal service to the Lord. So he acts as his pillow, umbrella, his chair, his bedding, his slippers, what else? Balm and thread. There are nine different, but many of those articles of personal paraphernalia of the Lord, they're actually forms of a mantisatia, that he serves the Lord. So mantisatia, he serves the Lord in two different features like this. So this is these are the different features of Balaram. So his Balaram, he is non-different from Lord Nityananda. So, because today is Lord Nityananda's appearance day, and it is that Lord Nityananda, so powerful, so unlimited, it's described that Ananta Sesha himself is an empowered incarnation of the Lord. He's described as Shaktivaishavatar. Shaktivaishavatar come in two different forms. A Vaishavatar means that they are a living entity who is empowered by the Lord. And Shaktavatar means that they are directly the Lord himself, empowered to do particular services. So he's Shaktivaishavatar. And he is always with, he has thousands and thousands of heads. And since time immemorial, he's been chanting the glories of the Lord. And he cannot come to the end of those glories. This is, as we see in yesterday's verse, previously, that it is not possible for one to actually understand the glories of the Lord unless one surrenders to the personality of Godhead. If one surrenders to the Lord, particularly to his teacher as Balaram, who teaches a service to Krishna, then we can understand to some degree the glories of the Lord. So today is Lord Nityananda's appearance day. If we can actually surrender to Lord Nityananda, then you can understand something about the unlimited glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by His grace. Actually, there are different prayers in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that even the greatest of fools, by the mercy of Lord Nityananda, they can understand something about the glories of the Lord by His mercy, as described here also in this verse. Even though a devotee has no real qualification, but if they get the mercy of the Lord, then they can speak something about the glories of the Lord. So what is that surrender? How do we actually surrender to Lord Nityananda? Lord Nityananda is actually the original guru, because the guru means one who expands within the hearts of living entities the ability to serve and please God. That is guru. Anyone who has a different agenda than that is not a guru. To be a guru, that is, their sole purpose is to expand within the hearts of the living entities how to please God, how to serve God. And Lord Balaram is that servant. He does all the services. Literally, all the services to God in all of existence are actually being carried out by Lord Balaram. He expands himself as all the Vaikuntha lokas and all the servants there, all the jivas in the material world, they're all expanded from Lord Balaram. Whatever servant, whether one is in, it's actually described that Sankarshan is the predominating deity of the mode of ignorance, and of false ego. And in the Bhagavad Gita it describes it, Krishna says, from me come remembrance, knowledge and forgetfulness. That forgetfulness means Sankarshan sits within our heart and inspires that forgetfulness according to our lack of surrender. Usually we think of Hrishikesh sitting within the heart, or Vasudev sitting within the heart expanding knowledge. But Vasudev is there with his expansion of Sankarshan, who's also expanding forgetfulness. I am knowledge, remembrance and forgetfulness. That forgetfulness, that is actually the role of Sankarshan. Forgetfulness means we forget how to serve God, and we become under the influence of false ego that I am the enjoyer and God is not the enjoyer. So this is actually the therefore Sankarshan and Lord Shiva, they're sometimes called tamasi, those who are dealing with the mode of ignorance. Not that they are in the mode of ignorance, but they are keeping all living entities in the mode of ignorance according to their lack of surrender. So, but if one gets the mercy of Lord Nityananda, who is Sankarshan, then he will, the first installment is that he removes that ignorance, that forgetfulness, that false ego. One becomes free from material desires. Therefore you see there are many songs by the different acharyas that in order to please the Lord, in order to approach the Lord, we must first approach Lord Nityananda. And by approaching Lord Nityananda, we actually become free from the false ego and from material desires. That's actually, if so many of us here today, of course, and many more will come, hundreds and hundreds, thousands and thousands, so many demigods, to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda. How do we know when that mercy is there? We know that that mercy is there, that the material desires within the heart become, just disappear. Then you know you've got the mercy. And how do we actually get that mercy of Lord Nityananda? Lord Nityananda, as described, he is actually the original spiritual master. He is the embodiment of service to God. He is the supreme personality of servitorship. Only through Lord Nityananda, who is Balaram himself, can actually one receive any particular service. There is no second avenue that we won't go through Balaram, we won't go through Lord Nityananda. There's another guru down the road who, you know, is in a different line, not so interested in Balaram or Lord Nityananda. We'll go through him. No. There's no service to be offered. There's nothing. There's just a void there. The only way that you can be allocated any service to Krishna is through the supreme personality of servitorship, through Balaram. And therefore he is the original guru, and he manifests himself as the spiritual master. So the spiritual master therefore is known as the direct representative of Lord Balaram. The spiritual master is considered non-different from Lord Nityananda. Non-different. Now we don't take that like many sahajas or cheetahs who say, I am guru, I'm non-different from Lord Nityananda, let me imitate Lord Nityananda. No, it's not that sort of non-different. Non-different means that they are the most confidential and dear servant of Lord Nityananda. Their desire, their purpose is one. So they are one in love, they are one in desire, they are one in purpose. They are the complete representative, just like in our line. Srila Prabhupada, he wrote a letter to one disciple, and he said that you can be assured that if you follow my instructions, he said, I haven't come here for any other purpose, I haven't come here for some personal profit. And of course, you know, if we look at the life of Srila Prabhupada, no one can accuse Prabhupada that somehow he's profiting. You know, to be, you know, in his advanced age, after suffering two heart attacks, to be going to all different strange places in the world, and to be going through so much austerity, doing without sleeping and what have you, working night and day as a very elderly aged person, there was certainly no profit. And the anxiety, the burden, the responsibility that he took upon his shoulders, there was no profit. So, and also, Srila Prabhupada was always glorifying his spiritual master. He was always glorifying the personal acharyas. He wasn't after profit in the sense of, look what I have done. In fact, many times he said, people want to offer some praise, but if you want to offer some praise, the only thing I can say that I've actually done, which is praiseworthy, is that I did not deviate from my spiritual master. I had firm faith, I tried to execute his orders exactly. So Srila Prabhupada was not after personal profit. He said, my only purpose is to serve the mission of the Lord, and if you follow my instructions, chant 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, follow four regular principles, distribute books, go out in Harinam Kirtan, perform big festivals like Rath Yatra, and, you know, celebrate different festivals like we're doing today. And then you can be assured that you'll get the blessings of my spiritual master, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who is non-different from Lord Nityananda Prabhu. And then he said, and if you get the blessings of Lord Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, who is non-different from Lord Nityananda Prabhu, then you definitely get the blessings of the previous acharyas, and you get the blessings of Lord Nityananda. And if you get the blessings of Lord Nityananda, you definitely get the blessings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And if you get the blessings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then you can understand Radha Krishna. Then you can actually worship God in his original form. That is the process. If someone thinks, let me worship Radha Krishna, or they are the original God, yes, I'll put some deities on the altar and I will worship them and read all about the gopis. There's no access. There's no access in that way. Actually, it's very interesting. The Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada describes that, see, in the worship of the Supreme Lord, we have to remember Radha Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And whatever offences, whatever deficiencies there are, whatever impurities are all counted. And because, especially in the age of Kali, everyone is so degraded, everyone is so sinful, you know, that is the background. And everyone is in such illusion and has, you know, such, you know, strong material desires. Their attempt to worship Radha Krishna, you know, adds up to just, you know, a whole bunch of offences. And they're not recommended to, you know, worship Radha Krishna. Srila Prabhupada says in that purport, we shouldn't even give them the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra if they're not sufficiently qualified in knowledge of the chanting. Better to direct them towards Lord Nityananda and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first. Even because the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is also non-different from Radha Krishna. And even to chant Hare Krishna, we should first teach people to chant Hare Krishna, you know, through the representatives of Lord Nityananda, you know, under the direction of a spiritual master who is non-different from Lord Nityananda. Not, if someone is chanting Hare Krishna and they feel that they can do that completely independent from Lord Nityananda or his manifestation as his spiritual master, again, there will be so many different offences that, you know, their advancement will be almost nil. And we see that. People can chant. They can chant. Bahu Janma Kaliyari Shavali Kirtanam Dabhutana Paya Krishna Paripandana. One is infested with the ten offences and the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Despite the endeavour to chant the holy name for many, many lifetimes, they will not get the result of love of God. And you see, instead of loving God, they will love dog, they will love their body, they will love their, you know, their hobbies of collecting sand, they will love this, they will love that, but love of God, it will not be there. And they'll be chanting, chanting. So even chanting Hare Krishna, what to speak of worshipping the deities, which is, you know, a very brahminical activity for those who are chanting offenselessly to some degree, you know, it should not be encouraged. We have a duty, actually, within our movement. We have a responsibility to scientifically and regularly help people to understand the glories of Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and being very, very careful not to steer them just to, you know, worshipping the deities of Radha Krishna like this. So the Lord Nityananda, he is actually the most merciful manifestation of Krishna. Out of all the different manifestations of Krishna, Lord Nityananda is the most merciful, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, it's described that if you chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, there are offences to be considered. But if you chant the names of Gaur and Atai, there is no consideration of offences. They are so merciful. Even one is the most sinful wretch. We see with Jagai and Madai, very, very sinful, wretched, horrible, abominable activities, unmentionable. They chanted the names of Guru Natai, and by this they were elevated to be able to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in pure love of God. And this is actually, we have to understand that our movement is resting on the basis of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. But in order to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, they must take shelter of Lord Nityananda. By getting Lord Nityananda's mercy, you can get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is described that of the Panchatattva, Shivas, he is the Sudanam Ashraya. He is the shelter of chanting the pure name. If you want to chant the pure name, then we chant Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasari Gaudabhaktivinoda. So we chant Srivas, and by chanting his names, calling for his mercy, he mercifully allows us to chant the pure name. And Sri Advaita Acharya, he is the Pancharatrika Ashraya. He is the shelter of being able to perform sadhana bhakti, regulated sadhana bhakti. If we chant Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sarasvati Gaudabhaktivinoda Sri Advaita, he allows us, his mercy allows us to perform regulated devotional service. And by perfecting regulated devotional service, you can ultimately come to Raghunuga Bhakti or spontaneous. Otherwise there's no question, without the mercy of Advaita Acharya, we will never understand, and we will never, by our own willpower or determination or qualification, we can never perform Vaidhi Bhakti properly, day by day, nicely. That is the spiritual potency of Advaita Acharya. There is no other way. And Gadadhar Pandit, he is the Bhava Shraya. So he is the shelter of Bhava. By if we come to the spontaneous platform of devotional service, the perfection of regulated devotional service, then we can experience, that means that we become free from material contamination and we can experience some spiritual emotions, the dawning of spiritual emotions. And Lord Nityananda Prabhu, he is the Prema Ashraya, he is the shelter of pure love of God. So by calling Sri Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara Saraswati Gaura Bhaktivinoda, we can be elevated to the Prema Bhakti status. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is the Rasa Ashraya. By chanting Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara Saraswati Gaura Bhaktivinoda, getting the mercy of all his associates, you can come to that platform to relish and taste the rasa, the nectar and mellows, the ocean of nectar, the nectar of devotion by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So here, again, I'll just read this translation. O greatest of all, those whose consciousness is polluted by illusion cannot purify themselves merely by ordinary worship, study of the Vedas, charity, austerity, and ritual activities. Our Lord, those pure souls who have developed a powerful, transcendental faith in your glories, achieve a purified state of existence that can never be attained by those lacking such faith. So I'll just leave it there if anyone has any questions or comments.
Just a quick question.
What's that?
Ordinary worship?
Yes, ordinary.
Mentioned in the translation. More to do with the demigods, not with the worship of the Lord Krishna. Because.
It's worship without faith in the Lord.
But then it can eventually lead to. Worshiping
the Lord. No, ordinary worship in this context is worship. The question is that here it mentions ordinary worship. Can that lead to prema?
My understanding is demigod worship.
Not necessarily. Ordinary worship in this context is worship without faith. And sometimes people actually worship the Lord without faith. Sometimes people read the Bhagavad Gita without any faith in its contents. As we described the other week, that Ramakrishna, the Ramakrishna mission. So they say that that he is Krishna, he is Balaram, he is Ramchandra, and in the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, "You think of me," so you meditate upon Krishna's pastimes. You know, there's a whole Krishna book, there's a whole Srimad Bhagavatam, those pastimes, and his appearance as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which describes Krishna's pastimes, it describes that he, intelligent person, will worship Krishna when he appears as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Sankirtan movement in the age of Kali. So worship Krishna as he is 5,000 years ago, and in the method prescribed for this Kali Yuga through Sankirtan, think of those activities. But they say, no, you don't have to think of Krishna or those activities. They'll confuse you. You think of me, Ramakrishna. I am Ramakrishna. Think of what I'm doing. Or, I will teach you also to become Krishna. You can think of yourself. In fact, they say, he says that, yatamatatapat, any path you follow is the same. So you can think of me, I am the Supreme, the Supreme is within anything. You can worship the demigods, that is thinking of Krishna. You can worship yourself, that is thinking of Krishna, because the Supreme, who is represented by Krishna, is within everything. So therefore, in this way, you don't worry about reading Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. You can meditate on anything and it's all the same. Yatamatatapat. So Krishna says, you think of me, and Ramakrishna says, I have no faith in that instruction. I have faith in my own instructions, and that is, you can think of anything. In fact, quite often they discourage, don't think of Krishna, because, you know, the Krishna of Srimad Bhagavatam and the Krishna of Bhagavad Gita, you know, maybe they're two different persons, or, you know, don't worry with Srimad Bhagavatam, because if you think about Krishna and his activities with the gopis, you'll become confused. Just think about Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. So they separate them. So they have no faith in thinking of Krishna. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that, now this Ramakrishna who claimed to become God by worshipping Kali, God is Kali. So Krishna says, you know, that those who worship demigods are less intelligent. And he's saying, I have become God by following a less intelligent process of worshipping demigods. So they claim, let us worship, yes, you can worship Krishna, but you can worship God. So he's worshipping God, he's worshipping Brahma, he's worshipping Krishna, he's speaking Bhagavad Gita, but he has no faith in Krishna, no faith in Brahma, no faith in Lord Nityananda, no faith in the Bhagavad Gita. That's ordinary. That's you know, that, and yet he may be performing all sorts of austerities, you know, opening hospitals, which they do, and giving so much charity and what have you, but because there is no actual faith in Krishna or Lord Nityananda, there is no possibility of actually developing love of God. And that, you know, usually becomes very evidently manifest in their life. And many of these so-called gods, you know, have got many unsavory activities. Any other questions? Yep. Well, it says here that even if a devotee is lacking the above qualifications such as Vedic austerity, Vedic study, that's why Lord Nityananda Prabhu, there's that verse that even if one is the greatest of fools, but by Lord Nityananda's mercy, that person can understand the glories of the Supreme Lord. Even that they're a great fool. You know, some people are illiterate. They cannot read or write. They cannot pronounce Sanskrit. They cannot study. They don't have a mind for philosophical understanding. And yet if they have faith in Lord Nityananda, all the imports of Vedic knowledge are automatically revealed. Therefore there's that verse, to those who have implicit faith in the Supreme Lord and the Spiritual Master, all the imports of Vedic knowledge are automatically revealed. So Sambandhigyan comes to one who has faith, not that you can try and instruct someone in Sambandhigyan, but if they're faithless, they can't understand it. That's the difference. Sambandhigyan means what? Well, there are seven in Dasamala Tattva, there are seven principles. You understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his energies, the liberated jivas, the conditioned jivas, the material energy, activities, the Vedas, the source, you know. So if you understand those seven different principles, that is Sambandhigyan. But if you try to teach that knowledge to someone who's faithless, they cannot understand it. Whereas despite their qualifications, despite the fact that they're great scholars, even in Sanskrit, even in the Vedas. Whereas if someone doesn't have any qualification, they're a bit of a fool, a bit of a buffoon, a bit like myself. By the mercy, Lord, otherwise, you know, how do you explain me sitting here? by the mercy of Lord Nityananda, they can understand something. So, you know, that faith, as we described, that the Lord actually sits within the heart of the devotee, and if you pray to Lord Nityananda, he will remove the false ego, that sense that I am the enjoyer, and with it goes all material desires. He removes that ignorance from within the heart. He does that. He helps. And then when that is removed, then you can actually understand, you know, Sambandhagyan when it's instructed. He helps you to understand as well. He turns on the light. So ordinary worship and ordinary practices means those practices, whether you're worshipping the Lord or demigods or what have you, but it's basically done without faith in the Lord in the context of this verse. That's ordinary. Transcendental, you come to the transcendental platform as soon as that spark of faith in the Lord actually manifests. That is Shraddha. Shraddha is the beginning of bhakti, it's the beginning of transcendental worship. That's a beautiful watch you got there, Prabhu. Lovely. Or it could be time to stop. So thank you very much for your question. Hare Krishna. So don't forget, kirtan. As Prabhupada said, you do kirtan, chant your rounds, you get the blessings of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, you get the blessings of Lord Nityananda. Hare Krishna. Thank you.